What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. That's an absolutely incredible name. It's an indescribable name. It's the name that's above every name, right? But it's the name that brings changed lives. And how cool is it that we get to come together and celebrate changed lives? Last Sunday, we stood and we talked about how young people came to Christ at Cara Ministries Camp. And this week, I received a phone call from a lady, and she said, look, I've been told to call you that you guys care about people. I hate to ask you to do something, but our family's at a point of need. I've got a mother-in-law that's in the hospital. She's pushing 95. Would you please go and see her? And we want to make sure that she knows Christ, and we want to be able to go ahead and just let you get to know us, because we're going to need you to care for us and support us in the not so distant future. And I went in and I sat down and I began to talk to her, and I told her who I was, and she told me who she was, and we began to go ahead and narrow the circle and realize that we knew a lot of the same people, even though she's 95 and I'm we went ahead and we just kind of worked through that conversation, and we talked about church, and she said, you know, I've really not gone to church that much in my life. And I said, you know, church really isn't the thing I'm here to talk to you about. I just want to talk to you about Jesus. I just want to make sure that you know Jesus. And she said, oh yeah, Jesus changed my life many years ago. Now, how incredible is it that Jesus will change the life of a young person, but he can also change the life of a 95-year-old if that's what's needed? But then we go ahead and we hear today again about some of our young people who've been away at camp this week, and they've had their life changed by Jesus. Jesus is the one that can go ahead and change any life. But you know, there was something that stood out as I was just thinking about a handful of things about young people coming to Christ and going to see someone, and you know that what they need is Jesus, and then hearing about another young person giving their heart to Christ. But what triggered a thought in my mind is this, because we've all identified. We heard how one young person said, you know, I'm kind of thinking I might need Jesus, but I'm also worried about what other people will think. And I'm also worried about how they'll view me, because other people probably looked at me and thought I was already good enough. And now I'm going to step out and they're going to realize that I'm not good enough. And how is that going to change their perception of me? And how is that going to change what I'm really all about? I don't know about you, but I've been in a position before where I didn't feel good enough. Has anybody else ever been right there with me? You've just been in that position where you didn't feel good enough. Anybody ever felt that way before, right? You walk into a room and you just automatically feel, I don't belong, I'm not good enough. Do you know what I've discovered is that no matter how good we are in our mind, that there are moments where we don't feel good enough. And in the past several weeks, the NBA championships have wound down, and LeBron James has been deciding where he's going to play, and he finally has made that decision, right? And that part of it is off the media if you watch SportsCenter very much, and I don't like live on TV, but this fits with what we're talking about today. He's arguably the best player that's ever played in the NBA, and that's really hard for me to say because I'm not his fan in any way, shape, or form, right? But it proves a point, because I heard somebody say the other day, I'm just not certain he's good enough to give that title to. Good enough. He's accomplished so much, yet someone looks and says, you know what, I'm just not quite sure that he's good enough. I think that we've all had a time where maybe somebody looked at us and said, I'm just not quite sure that they're good enough. I think there's been a point in every one of our lives where we've had that feeling and we've asked ourselves that question, am I good enough? And then we've all had those moments in our life where we have had someone speak to us, you're just not good enough. I was reading a story the other day about a little boy. A little boy was kind of at that age where he was always in and out of trouble, just young, nothing serious, but he was really getting on his mom's nerves one day, and she just said, look, can't you ever be good? I mean, for one day, can't you just get it right and be as good as I ask you to be? And he had been running in and out of the house and slamming the door and opening the door and slamming it and just really being a kid that was at that age. And his mom just got frustrated with him again and said, "Hey, can't you just be good? If you can't be good here, if you can't be good enough for me, how do you ever expect to get into heaven?" And he thought for a minute, his wheels were turning. He said, "I don't know, Mom. I guess I'll stand at the gate and open it and slam it, open it and slam it, and I'll wait for St. Peter to say, either get in or get out. Just make up your mind." You know, bottom line is this: none of us are good enough to get into heaven, right? We're just not. Sometimes we look at how good we might think we are, but you know what the Bible says about your goodness and my goodness? I mean, society says, "Oh, they're good people. They do a lot of good things, and they come from a great family, and they've got a great job, and they've got a good income, and they have good intentions." So there's a tendency for us to think of ourselves as maybe being a little bit good. But you know what the Bible says about my goodness and your goodness? It puts us all in the same boat. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, do you know what it says? It says there's not one that's good. There's just not one that's good. It says no, not one, right? They're just none of us, right? So I'm not talking about just you. I'm talking about me, right? We're all in the same boat. Every person that's ever walked with the exception of Jesus Christ, there's just nothing good. I mean, it might look good, but it just says there's none that's good. Jesus was talking to a group of people one day. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20, he goes ahead and he's having this conversation, and this group of people is talking about maybe how they could go ahead and have the hope of heaven and how good they were. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Look, unless you're way better than the Pharisees, unless you're way better than the people that think they're good enough, guess what? You're not going to go ahead and get into heaven. You just can't get there." You see, he took the top tier of society, the people that thought they were better than everyone, and he said, "Look, unless you're way better than them, it's not good enough." What was he telling them? He was telling them, "Look, the Pharisees aren't good enough, and you're not good enough." But if we go back to the Old Testament and look at the prophet Isaiah, do you know what the prophet Isaiah had to say? The prophet Isaiah said, "Our righteousness or our goodness is as filthy rags." And he took the word from the Hebrew, and he used a word for filthy that paints a picture of being as filthy as you could possibly be. And he says, "Look, that's what it really is." You know, God knew that we weren't good enough. God knew that we've all sinned. So God said, "Look, here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and create a way where you can get past the shame, where you can get past the sin, where you can get past the guilt, where you can get past the struggle of trying to find freedom from being good enough." Because some of us believe that if we can just make our life good enough, we will be okay. So we look for a better plan, we look for a better place, we look for a better path, we look for a better way, and we try and follow it, and then all of a sudden, we feel good for just a moment, but just a couple of steps down that path, right? All of a sudden, here's what happens. Guilt and shame come creeping back in. We go ahead and we make another decision and say, "I'm going to try this." And for a moment, we feel good about ourselves and life feels different and it looks different and we have this sense of freedom. And then all of the sudden, the guilt comes back. The shame comes back. We go ahead and we sin again and we begin to struggle with that. Or maybe discouragement in our life settles in and all of these things surround us. And we say, "Wow, I suddenly don't feel so free anymore. In fact, I'm just weighed down by the struggles or the sin and the issues of life." Well, the Apostle Paul talks about this. The Apostle Paul told us in Galatians chapter 5, and it's where we're going to look this morning. He said Jesus came so that we could go ahead and kind of stand in him. And Jesus came because no matter how we can answer this question, we're always going to go ahead and get it wrong. Because the bottom line is this. Some of us are trying to go ahead and get through this life, and we're searching for freedom, and we're searching for something to go ahead and make us enough, because we continually ask the question through our thoughts or through our actions or through our beliefs. We try and go ahead and answer the question, how good is good enough? And we have this tendency to try and make ourselves a little bit better today than what we were yesterday, but we try and do it from the outside in, right? We think, if I want to fit in that group, I'll just go ahead and wear clothes like they wear. If I want to go ahead and be in that neighborhood, I'll get the house and then I'll get the job and that'll just make my life better and I'll have that place in society. And we think, man, I'm going to be good enough. Sometimes we even go ahead and we get in relationships and that relationship gets a little bit rocky and we think, what can I do to make myself better? What can I do to get good enough in that other person's eyes? What can I do to shine a little brighter, to be a little bit better? And here's the answer that Paul goes ahead and gives us. He tells us that ultimately we've got one choice. You see, we all want freedom, but in order to have that freedom, we have to answer that question, how good is good enough? And here's what Paul is going to tell us. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom by which Christ has made us free. He says that Jesus has given us a freedom, and he's giving us something that we can't duplicate anywhere else or any way else. And then he says this, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Do you know that word there, yoke of bondage, that phrase? That can be translated. It says, don't be entangled with self-effort or don't be entangled with trying to be good enough. In case you're wondering today, how good is good enough? Paul writes and says, we've got one hope, we've got one opportunity. His name is Jesus. Quit trying to be good enough. Quit trying to go ahead and be good enough in your own effort. Quit trying to go ahead and get it right yourself. He says, quit trying to put forth that self-effort. He says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. He says, look, you're making a self-effort. You're trying to be good enough in somebody else's eyes. You're missing out on what Christ has for you. How true is that of many Christians, right? They come to know Jesus. They place their faith in him as their Savior. They say, would you forgive me of my sins? I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again. I believe that you're the way. But then we go ahead and give in to a little pressure. We give in to what society thinks. We give in to what people say. Life isn't as smooth as we thought it would be. And we begin to go back to something that we can do and we can take care of. Paul says it's not going to work. He says in verse number 3, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Paul says if you try and get good enough in one area, guess what? You got to keep all of it. James chapter 2, verse number 10 tells us that if we offend the point, all right, in one point, we're guilty of all of it. He says, good luck trying to go ahead and be good enough because it never works. He says, you have become estranged from Christ. It means you've went out on your own. You've walked away from his plan. You who attempt to be justified by the law. And he says, you've fallen from grace. He doesn't tell them that they're losing their salvation. He just says, look, here's the bottom line. When you come to Christ and you give your life to him and you want to follow him, but you're still trying to be good enough, you're missing out on God's grace. You're missing out on the plan that God has for you. He says, for we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. He says, this whole thing is by faith. We've got to trust Christ for everything. Then he says this, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But here's what he says, but faith working through love. He says, but faith working through love. He says this, stand fast in Christ, right? Because Jesus is ultimately where it's at. And then he says, some of you know Christ, but you're trying to be good enough, even though you know Jesus. You're trying to get things right, and you're trying to do things right, and you think that's the way to freedom. Paul says, no, there's a much better way. Because no matter how good you think it is never going to be good enough. And here's what was happening. In their culture, there were people just like you and I, people that would come to Christ, people that would place their faith in Jesus. They didn't understand everything. They didn't know everything. And just like you and I, there was a tendency in their life to try and measure up, right? To try and measure up. There's not one person in this room today that couldn't think of something about their life where they just don't measure up and where they don't feel like, they feel like, look, I'm not good enough in this area. Well, that was taking place. And these people who are new to Christ, these people who are trying to figure out the Jesus thing, were talking to Jews, and the Jews, they were saying, look, here's what you got to do. You need to go ahead and do this, and do this, and do this, and do this, and forget that Jesus thing, and then you'll be good enough. And Paul says, there's no way you're ever going to be good enough. Because every time you think you got one area down, you're going to find out there's something else missing, and you got to go ahead and go to work on that. So what was Paul saying? Paul was saying this, if we want to find freedom, we want to find freedom for our life spiritually, we want to find freedom from sin, guess where it's found? It's found in the gospel of Christ. But we need to understand this, and this is what Paul is driving at. Not only do we find freedom from sin and forgiveness from sin in the gospel of Christ, we find freedom for every area of our life. We bring it back to the gospel. Can I tell you something? Salvation is just the beginning point. Of the gospel. We go to the gospel for salvation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. He paid for your sin. He paid for my sin. We need that salvation. We trust him by faith, but we can go back to the gospel and let everything for our life flow right from there and gain a whole new freedom. So what does Paul say? Paul goes ahead and gives us a couple things, and we're just going to cover them real quick. He tells us three extremely important things in this concept of the gospel of Christ. He tells us, first of all, that the gospel of Christ is the source for freedom. Some of you today are looking for freedom, and you think if you could go ahead and be good enough that maybe you would have a little more freedom. Freedom from guilt, freedom from sin. If you could just get smarter, you wouldn't have that habit anymore. You'd go ahead and walk away from it. No, that's not what Paul says. Paul says, look, there's a source of freedom, and his name is Jesus, and you've just got to go ahead and stand fast in that. You've got to go ahead and dig in, because that is the answer. You're trying to find freedom for your life. You're trying to find freedom for relationships. It doesn't matter how young we are. It doesn't matter how old we are. We're searching for that freedom, right? That's what we want. We want something to make our life better. And Paul says, look, the only way it's going to happen is through Jesus. He says it's the source of freedom. The freedom that we want has to have a source, and that source is found in Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What does it give us freedom from? It gives us freedom from the penalty of sin. According to Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, the wages of sin is what? It's death. The only thing that sin can go ahead and offer us is death and destruction. That's the only way it can go ahead and take us. It's the only direction it can lead us. So in order to have freedom, we have to go back to the source, and we have to look at who Jesus is and what Jesus offers us. But Paul tells us, look, the gospel of Christ, it's the source of freedom from the penalty of sin, but it's also freedom from the power of sin. Do you know what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 56. He says this, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Did you know what the law is? The law is self-effort. The law is legalism. Things that we can go ahead and throw on other people. The law is you and I trying to be good enough. And Paul writes and he says, look, there's not a chance of that happening. And here's the power of sin. The power of sin ultimately makes you and I feel like we can do something else to try and be good enough, because inherently we know we're not, and we know something's missing. And Paul says, look, the only way to get away from that is through Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ delivers us from the penalty of sin. It delivers us from the power of sin. You want freedom from the penalty of sin today? It doesn't come by trying to be good enough. You want freedom from the power of sin? It doesn't come from you trying to go ahead and get better or be better. It comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then he tells us this. He says there's freedom from the pressure of sin that comes through the gospel of Christ. Galatians chapter 1, the entire book of Galatians is all about freedom. In Galatians chapter 1, it says this. He says, I marvel that you are turning away too soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. In Galatians 1, verse number 6, he writes and he says, look, some of you are turning away from the free grace of Jesus, from the freedom that's found in him, and you're going back and you're trying to be free, but you can't find it. And the reason you can't find it is because you're not looking at Jesus. You've walked away from the grace that was freely given to you. You're going after a different gospel. You're going after a gospel that requires something of you. You're going after a gospel that tells you if you do this and this and this, then maybe you'll experience some freedom. Paul says, look, that's not going to happen. He said, which is not another, right? But there are some who trouble you and want you to pervert the gospel of Christ. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying there's some that are trying to get you to go back to that self-effort. There's some that are trying to get you to be good enough. There's some that are trying to get you to handle everything yourself. And he says, look, it's ultimately a waste of your time. It's never going to happen. You're not going to find freedom in that. Today, I don't know what area of your life you need freedom in. Maybe you need freedom from sin today. Maybe you've got some things in your life. You're already a believer, but you're just struggling with some areas of your life, and you say, man, I want to get beyond it. I need some freedom from that. Can I tell you something? The only place we find freedom is in the gospel of Christ, because it is the source of freedom. It is the source of freedom. Maybe today you need some freedom in your marriage or freedom in your relationship with your kids. Maybe you need some financial freedom. Some of you would say financial freedom in the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is the beginning of our relationship with him. We go back to that. We begin to trace everything out of who Jesus is and what Jesus can offer. And can I tell you something? Jesus is the answer for every need of your life. You begin to follow him and follow his plan. I promise you this. You begin to go ahead and have freedom in your life like you never had before when we begin to look at him and live and do things his way. He's the source of our freedom. Some of us want freedom, but we're going to a different source, and we're trying to be good enough. And Paul says, look, guys, you can ask all day long, how good is good enough? And I'm going to keep giving you the same answer in multiple passages of Scripture. Good enough is only found in Jesus. And we're never going to be good enough on our own. He tells us that there's something else that the gospel of Christ does. He says the gospel of Christ secures God's grace. God's grace. It's more than we deserve, and it's better than what we could ever imagine. Paul says you've been given something that's more than you deserve. It's better than you can imagine. And here's the temptation. The temptation is to go back. The temptation is to go back and try and be good enough. The temptation is to go back and try and put things in your hands and work it out the way you want to. He says, look, this grace thing, when we begin to go ahead and try and be good enough, he says, do you know why we don't feel free? Because we're missing out on God's grace. We're missing out on the one thing that can work inside of us and begin to go ahead and change our life and to change things around us. And Paul says, look, we're missing out on the grace. You see, Paul was telling us that grace secures and it maintains our freedom. And he was also telling us this, anything else is just going to entangle us. It's just going to enslave us. That's why he said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom. Don't trade it for anything by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again. He says, don't go back to trying to be good enough. Just rest in this grace thing. Sometimes it's hard for a Christian to realize, okay, Jesus paid for my sin. I don't have to go back and undo everything. I don't have to try and be good enough anymore. I just look to him and I let him work in my life, and I trust that, and that changes everything. Paul says, look, when you go back, you're frustrating yourself and you're not going to feel freedom. You're not going to enjoy the grace of God. He's just saying, let God's grace work in your life. He said, it worked for me. He said, I was a murderer. I was someone who wanted to stop the church. From a good enough standpoint, as far as society was concerned, I was pretty good. But ultimately, I was no good at all. And the only thing that changed me is the grace of Jesus Christ. What does grace take care of? Grace goes ahead and gives us a new position. That's what it does. If some of us think that we could go ahead and be free if we just had a new position in life. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 7, it says this, "Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." What does that mean? Paul says that grace secures a new position. He says you're a son, you're no longer a servant. He says you're no longer somebody that's outside the family. You're no longer someone who has to go ahead and serve their way through life from a standpoint of just a servant. You're not a slave. You're someone who is now a part of the family of God. And it's a new position. Do you know what he was saying? He was saying your position as a servant used to be based on your performance. And now it's no longer performance-based. It's relationship-based. So how good is good enough? Good enough is what Jesus has done, because Jesus makes us good enough, right? That's what takes place. He goes ahead and he puts his righteousness on my life and your life, and we're declared righteous before God. But it's not because of anything that I do or anything that you do. It's because of who Jesus is and what he is ultimately all about. So when we look at what Paul says, look, some of you are searching for a new position in life. I want you to know that grace provides it. Grace provides it. Most of the positions that we have in this life are performance-based, not relationship-based, right? I mean, let's just be honest. Even in families, right, they're not necessarily performance-based, but everybody has the family member you're thinking, man, if I could just go ahead and scratch them out, get rid of the DNA, I would. And some of you are saying, oh, not me, and I'm thinking, yeah, you got it. You just haven't found them yet. Or you just don't necessarily want to be honest, right? Because it's like that. Paul says, look, this is brand new. This is something that's different. It's a new position, but he also says, look, you got a new place. Paul's writing to people that when they're a servant, they live in a different house, right? They might be a servant of the house, but they don't necessarily go ahead and participate in all the things of the house. He says, look, I want you to understand that when you're a part of the family, you have a new place, right? You sit at the table with the Father. You sit at the table with the rest of the family. Everything has been changed. But he also tells them, look, that you have a new inheritance. You've got a new payment. When we don't follow Jesus, all the payment that we have to look forward to is death and destruction. But when we begin to go ahead and follow him and rest in his grace and let his grace secure our salvation, we get a new position. We're a part of the family of God. We get a new place. We have free run in the Father's house. We have access to everything that the Father has to offer. That means hope, forgiveness, love, joy, peace, all the things that we need that bring us freedom, we can go ahead and get because of the position and the place that we're given, not because we can be good enough, but we have a new inheritance. One day, we're going to go ahead and inherit everything that belongs to Jesus. And that's not what I'm telling you. That's what Paul says. He says, we're an heir of God through Christ. Not an heir, right? I made a lot of errors on the baseball field, right? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an heir. Somebody that has a stake, somebody that has a claim. He says, that's what we are. That's pretty incredible when you begin to think about that. An incredible truth that we're now an heir. Everything we could want, everything we could hope for is in Jesus. Yet there's the temptation in my life and your life to come to Christ and know we're forgiven, but then we try and be good enough, so then we wonder if we're really forgiven. We wonder if we're good enough. We wonder if we're still saved because we didn't do this and we did do that, and all of this thing goes ahead and gets muddied up because we go back to trying to be good enough. Well, Paul gives us one last thing that I just want to work through real quick. He tells us, It's not about performance. It's about a relationship. So ultimately, what is Christ saying? He tells us that the gospel of Christ is the source of our freedom. He says that the gospel of Christ secures God's grace, right? You have God's best exchanged for your worst. So Jesus is exchanged for your sin and my sin. He lays that out there. So what is Paul telling us? He's telling us that the gospel of Christ stands as Christ is enough. It just stands as Christ is enough. What is Christ enough for? Christ is enough for the freedom from sin. That's what he tells us. Christ is enough for freedom from shame. Christ is enough for freedom from guilt. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what 1 John 1:9 tells us, right? He's enough for all of those things. But Paul is also talking about he's enough for life struggles. He's enough for everything that we need. Yet every time we turn from his grace to our good enough, we're missing out on the grace of God and it working in our life. And do you know ultimately what we're doing? We're frustrating the grace of God and we get frustrated ourselves. And we say, man, there's not an ounce of freedom in my life. And sometimes there's not an ounce of freedom in our life. First, because maybe we need to come to Christ and invite him to be our Savior. And then if we've already done that, maybe the next step is this. When we don't feel so free on the inside, and we're still attempting to be good enough, and nothing works out according to our plan, maybe we need to go ahead and say, okay, I'm not going to be good enough anymore. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to live in the freedom that the grace of God offers me through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's impossible for us to try and be good enough and experience freedom at the same time. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, you're missing out. You're going back. You're not living in the grace that we're designed to live in. You see, you and I were never designed to live in the condemnation of the law. But the law was given so that we would know that we needed a Savior. Do's and don'ts were placed out there so that we would know that we do wrong and that we sin, and we need someone who can change all of that. And Jesus is the only one that can change all of that. So the reality is this. Paul said, look, don't trade that for anything. Don't trade it for anything. Paul was saying, stand fast in Christ. What does he mean? Stand in his acceptance. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says this, that he's made us accepted where? It's kind of amazing. We try and be good enough in this life to get accepted. We try and be good enough in this life to get in to different places. But here's what he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in heaven, in the beloved. So he says, I want you to stand in his acceptance. Do you realize today that you can trust Jesus Christ and you can be accepted in heaven? If you're accepted in heaven and you're good enough to get in heaven through the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then you know what? That's all we need. That's ultimately what it's all about. And Paul says, look, stand fast in that. But Paul doesn't stop there. He says it gets better. He says, I want you to go ahead and stand in Christ, which means just to stand in his redemption and his riches. In verse number 7, Ephesians chapter 1, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you know what that means? It means this, that when God forgives me, he doesn't forgive me based on how good I am before or how good I am after, because I'm not good on either side of that. He goes ahead and he bases forgiveness because of Christ. And the riches of his grace, just meaning his grace, never runs out. It's pretty amazing to stop and think that Paul says, look, if we're going to live this Christian life, we need to go ahead and stand as Christ is enough because it's there in his gospel. But he tells us to stand in his acceptance, in his redemption, and in his image. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1, Paul says, look, this life is not about us living our way anymore. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, he says, my life's no longer about me, it's about Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, he says, here's the reality. Old things have passed away, all things are becoming new. Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, he says, the goal of the Christian life is to be conformed to the image of the Son of the living God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He says, stand fast in the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Jesus Christ gives us acceptance. It gives us redemption according to his riches, but it gives us a new image. You see, we all have the image of God engraved upon us because creation says we were made in the image of God. But sin mars the image of God. But Jesus came into this world to go ahead and cleanse away the marring and the scarring that sin does to my life and your life, and to go ahead and allow us to trust him and to bring out that image even more in our life. And the only way that happens is when we turn to him and trust him, invite him to be our Savior. And it continues to bring freedom after salvation when we go ahead and begin to go ahead and trust his grace to bring freedom. You see, the gospel of Christ gives us freedom from sin and the power of sin and the penalty of sin. But the gospel of Christ will bring us freedom day after day because it secures grace. And now it's a relationship thing. And it will bring us freedom as we stand in the gospel of Christ, because Christ is enough. Some of you today are trying to be good enough. You're trying to get good enough. Paul said, Jesus has already taken care of it, and he is good enough. Let me ask you something. Who are you trying to be more like today? You trying to be your best self? You trying to be good enough like you think your neighbor might be? I read a story the other day, and it just ties all of this together. A woman was unhappy with her life. She said, I don't look right. My husband doesn't go ahead and look at me the same that he used to. I don't feel right. I'm getting just a little bit older. And all of these things were overwhelming her. And she said, I'm just not good enough anymore. So she said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to this place that can make my life better. And she walked in, and they did all the things at a place like that they would lay out. They said, here's your new nutrition plan, and here's your new exercise regimen, and we're going to go ahead and give you some coaching and some practical things that you can go ahead and begin to feel better about yourself. And they laid out this plan. And then he took her back to a full-length mirror, and he said, I'm going to take this marker. I'm going to draw an image in this mirror. And each time you come in, I want you to see how much closer you're getting to that image, because that's what I want you to look like when this process is over. And I thought, you know what? The one thing that's wrong with that story, when I begin to think about it, is this. A lot of us do that with our spiritual life. We're being conformed to an image. We're taking on the shape of something else that we were never intended to take on. And we try and be good enough, spiritually speaking, and we try and fit our life into this little mold that's after the neighbor or after the person that we know down the street, and we think that's good enough. And all the while, the reality is this, the image that you and I are supposed to be trying to be conformed to, spiritually speaking, is the image of Jesus Christ. Because ultimately, he's the one that is good enough. And no matter how good you think that image might be, it's always going to be lacking something. And it's going to change. It's not going to be exactly what you thought it would be unless you find it in Jesus. Today, you want freedom. You find freedom from sin. You find freedom from guilt in a personal relationship with Jesus. But can I tell you something? That continues and relying and trusting in his grace day after day to bring freedom into your life. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Today I've probably shared a few minutes longer than what we normally would. But today I wonder, are you certain, first and foremost, that you know Jesus? If you're not certain that you know Jesus, in just a moment, we're going to have a time where you can respond. And if you'd like to know more about Christ and who he is and the relationship and the forgiveness that he offers, I would encourage you, when we stand together and sing, just to leave your place and step out and come. We'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Christ is your Savior. How you can know for certain that he loves you and gave his life for you, and he's got a great new plan for your life. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I already know Jesus, but quite honestly, I've spent a lot of my time trying to be good enough. I let what other people think of me, I let the pressures that they put on me. And by the way, we're going to be talking more about that in the weeks ahead. I've let some of those things take away from the freedom that I have in Christ, and I need to come back and be a little more secure in his grace. Need to rely on his grace a little bit more. Maybe today you would just like to come and pray at the altar, or maybe pray right where you are and just say, look, I'm struggling with this concept, Lord, of being good enough, trying to measure up, trying to meet somebody else's expectation. Maybe today you would say, Lord, help me to be placed in your image. I don't know what your need is, but I know this. If you got a want to in your heart, I would just encourage you to respond when we stand together and sing. If you need someone to pray with you, pray for you, we'll do that. Whatever your need might be, I encourage you just to step out in just a moment. Would you stand with me, please? Father, I come to you today, and I ask you to work in our hearts and in our lives as only you can. Help us to rest secure, to stand firm in your grace that is taken care of for us by the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Help us to know that that changes every area of our life, and we're not going to have freedom in any area until we begin to come back to that. Father, if there's one here today that needs to know you, I pray that you would help them to come to know you today. Lord, if there's one that has other things going on in their life, help them to know they can come to you for whatever it might be. For it's in Christ's name we ask it.